السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. The next surah that inshallah that we will commence is Surah Yunus. Surah Yunus was one of those surahs which were revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before he migrated to Medina. And in fact, the next seven surahs that come after Surah Yunus, Hud and Yusuf and so on and so forth, they are all known as Makkiyah, before the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, there are a few verses which were revealed to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of Surah Yunus and Medina after migration in Medina to Munawwara. However, the entire surah, most of it, was revealed before the migration. That's why it's known to be a Makkiyah surah. We all know that there are two different types of surahs, Makkiyah and Madaniyah. So if it was prior to the migration, it was Makkiyah. If it was afterwards, then it was Madaniyah. I was mentioning in Jummah this afternoon about the Hijrah and this migration. But subhanAllah, our Islamic calendar is based on this migration. And many of us may not know that this was not chosen by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Islamic calendar was not set by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, it was 17 years after this incident that Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, they sat down and they decided that we should have an Islamic calendar, and there should be some attachment, that's because of some scenario or some reason or some situation that took place during the life of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, as I was mentioning, Sahaba gave different opinions. Some people, they said that maybe the Battle of Badr, based on that, we should have our Islamic calendar. That's when it should start. Some people, they said no, maybe the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some Sahaba said no, maybe when he received prophethood. Some Sahaba, they said no. So everyone had their different opinions. But finally, everyone agreed that the most important day of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was this migration. The reason behind it is because, you know, in Quran al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, إِلَّا تَنْصُرُوهُ فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ. That if you don't help Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has already helped him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elaborated on that. That what does it mean by the help of Allah? Allah goes on moving forward. إِلَّا تَنْصُرُوهُ فَقَدَ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ إِذْ أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. When the disbelievers, they made you come out. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not leave. In fact, he was forced out. He was made to leave. Leave his own town. إِذْ أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ. And you are the two of one of the two, referring to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ, when both of them were in the cave. So the ayah keeps going, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ. Allah's help came when the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took place. In other words, Islam started to spread. The laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were able to be established after this migration. Now, in Surah Al-Baqarah, as one Mufassirin rahimahullah, he miraculously or amazingly, you could say, he takes this verse of Surah Al-Baqarah and he attaches it with these verses over here in Surah At-Tawbah. He says, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now remember the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said to the Malaika that I am going to send a deputy on this earth. Khalifa, the word Khalifa is used. Normally when we do the translation of Khalifa, and from what we know, it's a successor, person who comes after and he takes over. That's normally who a Khalifa is. Now, as far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, obviously there is nobody who could be a successor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A successor only takes place when the person before he dies or he's no more. And obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, God forbid that we even say something like that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hayyun la yamut. He's all living. You know, as Allah says in Ayatul Kursi, that, you know, no death, nothing can overtake Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even He doesn't even sleep. He doesn't even, you know, take a nap. So death is beyond comprehension and you know, totally against our aqidah. So now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot have a successor, so why did Allah say Khalifa? I'm going to send a deputy, and who is this Khalifa? What is this referring to? According to most of the Mufassireen, they all agree that even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could not have a successor, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses certain people to do the work of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses certain people to establish His own rulings in this earth. So this is what it means for Khalifa. Now, subhanAllah, going back to this migration that we were mentioning and talking about, and why is this so important? Because when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he migrated from Mecca to Medina, that's when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was able to establish this khilafah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that khilafah wasn't there. Now, when we say khilafah, what do we mean? That he was able to establish the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only for that period of time, but that establishment was going to stay until the day of Qiyamah. So that's why Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, they understood the importance of this migration. Or else, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed in Mecca, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give this order, then we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was very difficult for Sahaba and Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to spread the word. They weren't able to establish the deen of Allah. It was very difficult. No one was allowed to perform salah openly. No one was allowed to recite Quran. People had to hide their iman. But after migrating, the first thing that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did was to establish a place of worship. Right away, the first thing he did was he built a masjid. He built a place where believers can come and they can learn the deen of Allah. Establishment started from right there. And as I was mentioning this afternoon, that before the help of Allah comes, before the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala normally tests people. And subhanallah, we know after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he became a prophet. He lived for 23 years. And majority of that portion was still in Mecca. 13 years he still lived in Mecca. After that, the migration took place. And subhanAllah, in Mecca, those 13 years, all it was oppression. All it was hardship. All it was difficulties. All it was torture. Nothing beyond that. That's all it was. And subhanAllah, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's migrating, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals, إِلَّا تَنْصُرُوهُ فَقَدَ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ. That was an indication, now the hardship is going to be behind you now. These tortures are going to be behind you now. The weakness that you had or you felt, now that's going to be behind you, now the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran al-Kareem, when He mentions about the help of Allah, first He wants to see what is it that we are going to do. When we take the first step towards Allah, that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also, we know, will take a stand as well. He would also take a step forward as well. But we have to take the first step. Once we do that, then we subhanallah, we'll see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up the doors. That's why one of the scholars, he says, that success is not when you feel you're getting, you know, the success. When you see that everything is established, that's not what success is. Success is when you're going through that difficulty. That is a sign that Allah has accepted you. That is a sign of success. That is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy. Because this is the method He chose for all the Anbiya alayhi salam. Look at Ibrahim alayhi salam. Take an example. That before Ibrahim alayhi salam was able to establish the millat Ibrahim that is mentioned in the Quran, and before he was able to establish the house of Allah, and before Allah opened up the doors for him, and he was blessed with Ibrahim, Ismail, and Ishaq alayhi salam, and subhanAllah, the Zamzam, and all the miracles, all of those things, and all the merits of Ibrahim alayhi salam that are mentioned, all of those, the help of Allah, that all came after, before he was by himself. Before it was only him. It was him against the whole community. It was him and going into that fire that they built for him, they made for him. He had to go through that difficulty. Once he passed that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up the doors. So this help of Allah, it will come for all of us, inshallah. And it will come, it's definite. But we have to go through that difficulty. That's the trend of Allah. That's the way how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He works with His servants. Now, as you were mentioning of Makkiyah surahs and Madaniyah surahs before migration, after migration, if we look at the general theme of all the surahs that were revealed before migration, you will see that the general message in these surahs, in the Makkiyah surahs, were about firm belief. Why? Because that was a time of difficulty and hardship, and that was a time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested the iman, tested that firm belief. He wanted to make sure that the belief was strong. Because aqidah is the most important aspect in our deen. What does the word aqidah mean? Aqidah comes from the word uqd. And uqd means a knot. That you tie a strong knot. That's why in Quran al-Kareem, uqdatun nikah is the word that is used. That for marriage. That it's a knot that is tied and it should be strong. And it should be a very strong bond between one person and another. So when we use the word aqidah, that means, what is that referred to? That now there is a strong bond between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And based on our aqidah, our belief, everything else will inshallah fall in place properly. All the forms of ibadah, all of our virtues or our understanding of our deen, our values of our deen, will be based on this aqidah. If our aqidah is correct, everything else inshallah will fall in place accordingly. But if our aqidah is not, then everything else will be based on that, and everything can go in the wrong direction. Now subhanAllah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he migrated to Madinatul Munawwara, and we saw the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opening up. And we read it many times, we listened to it many times, that how Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, they started to come into the fold of Islam. People started to come in the fold of Islam in large numbers. To the extent that finally, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given, or he was blessed with Suratul Nasr, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, that when you see the help of Allah, and you see the open victory, when you see that, when Allah gives that to you, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا, and when you see people entering into the fold of Islam in huge and large numbers, when you see that, there is something that Allah wants now. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ, now it's time for you to praise your Lord. What does that mean? That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't doing that? No. Allah is telling Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you need to do that even more now. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ, and seek forgiveness from Allah. Why? Now it's time for you to go back. The reason why Allah sent you, the help of Allah came. And the open victory was there. And people started to come into the fold of Islam. When that was your mission. When you passed that mission, now prepare for your akhirah and prepare for your death. What Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he received the surah, Sahaba, when they looked at the ayahs and they heard the verses of Quran, they got extremely happy. Because now, alhamdulillah, Allah is telling us the open victory is there. Allah's help is there. People are coming to the fold of Islam. Everyone was happy except for one sahabi, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked those sahaba, oh, how come you're not rejoicing like the others? And they said, O Prophet of Allah, in this surah, as Allah is mentioning about His victory and giving us glad tidings, on the other hand, Allah is telling us that it's time for you to leave soon. That is an indication that you're not going to be living very long now. And subhanAllah, that was after that, only a year, a few months after that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. And subhanAllah, as I mentioned, that was the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was able to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala utilize the sahaba, utilize Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to establish the deen of Allah. Like I said, it wasn't only for that period of time. It was until the last person that will come until the day of Qiyamah. That every person who would say La ilaha illallah, or who would pick up the verses of Quran, or who would pick up the book of Allah and he would recite it. People who would prostrate for the sake of Allah. People who will perform salah or do any good deed for the sake of Allah or be an obedient servant for the sake of Allah. Where did that happen? When did that happen? If it wasn't for that migration, maybe we wouldn't be sitting here today. If it wasn't for that hijrah, if it wasn't for that migration, subhanAllah, the way how deen is spreading so fast and the billions of people who are Muslim today, they wouldn't be Muslim. How did all of that spread? It was through that nusra that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent via migration, via that hijrah. So this migration was an extremely, extremely important turning point, not only for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but for the deen of Allah and for all of us as well. All of us are connected to that migration. And then subhanAllah, we know when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did migrate, where did he migrate to? That was a place that was obviously chosen by Allah. A place that was known to be Yathrib before it became Medina. What does the word Medina mean? Medina means city. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanAllah, when we look at Quran, anyone know what the word Quran means? Quran. It comes from the word qara'a. Right? It means a book that is recited all the time. And subhanAllah, there is no other book that is recited as much than Quran al-Kareem in the entire world. How much of Quran is being recited every single day by the Ummah? You know how? You know, if you just look at, forget the normal recitation, just what is being recited in Salah. How much of Quran is being recited? So Allah just put that, the name of that book, Quran. A book that is going to be recited all the time. So subhanAllah, now when we look at Medina, the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named Medina is because it's that city. It is the city. There is no other city besides Medina. In other words, in the eyes of Allah, according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the only city. We have other cities in our mind. Mississauga and Brantford and Brampton and whatnot. But according to Allah, this is that city. That is why most of the ulama and mufassirin rahimahullah, when they comment on Madinatul Munawwara, they say that subhanAllah, that Medina is more blessed in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala itself. Why? Because at the end of the day, the throne of Allah is a creation of Allah. And Medina is also a creation of Allah. And who's in Medina? The best creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And subhanAllah, we all know that when we go visit, may Allah give us the opportunity of visiting Mecca and Medina often. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call us there more and more, inshallah. But for those of us who have been there, I'm sure we have witnessed and we went to that area in Madinatul Munawwara, in the in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and where there is a section which is known to be the section which will be in Jannah as well. That's why the scholars, subhanallah, they say that, you know, Jannah does not have Medina, but Medina has Jannah. Medina, subhanallah, this city is so blessed that it has a piece of Jannah inside it. But Jannah does not have Medina in it. That tells us the blessedness, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously chose that place. So when we talk about this migration, what is this referring to? Like I said, we can keep going just on this, and I don't want to go too much in the details of this, but just for us to understand, when we say Makkiyah and Madaniyah, we should feel an attachment to Makkiyah and Madaniyah. When we hear that this was before migration, this was after migration, what is this migration all about? I just wanted to give you a brief understanding so we can appreciate, so that we can also attach ourselves to this migration. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability of attaching ourselves to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, like I said, the gist of this surah Yunus and other surahs is about iman. It's about making one's iman firm. And subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses, He mentions about different scenarios that we face all the time. All the time. Sometimes Allah tests us through difficulty, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us through ease. And I always say that the test during ease is more difficult than the test of difficulty. Because naturally, when a person is in a difficult situation, we do turn to Allah, right? We do turn to Allah. But when we are in a good state, when things are going very easy for us, then we tend to lose that connection with Allah. So we'll go over some verses. Surah Yunus.
These are the verses of the wise book. Is it surprising for the people that we have sent the divine revelation to a man from among them to direct him that he should warn the people who are heedless and give happy news to those who believe that they will have truly excellent footing and a place near their Lord? The disbeliever said, "Surely he is an open sorcerer. Surely your Lord is Allah, the one who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and then he positioned himself on the throne. He governs all affairs of his creation.
There is no one who could intercede before him except after his permission. That is Allah, your Lord. So worship him. Would you still pay no heed? Towards him all of you have to return. This being a true promise from Allah. Surely he originates the creation, then he will bring it again, so that he may justly reward those who believe and do good deeds. As for those who disbelieve, for them there is a drink of boiling water and a painful punishment, because they used to be infidels. He's the one who has made the sun a glow and the moon a light, and determined for its stages, so that you may learn the numbers of years and calculation of time. Allah has not created all this but for our rightful purpose. He elaborates the signs for people who understand. Surely in the alternation of the night and the day, and in what Allah has created in the heavens and the earth, there are signs for our people who are God-fearing. As for those who do not believe in meeting us and are quite happy with the life of this world and are content with it, and those who are heedless to our signs, they are the ones whose abode is the fire because of what they used to earn for themselves. As for those who believe and do good deeds, their Lord will guide them by virtue of their belief. Rivers will be flowing beneath them in the gardens of bliss. Their call therein will be, "Pure are you, O Allah," and their greeting there will be salam, and the end of their call will be, "Praise be to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds."
Okay. So as far as Alif Lam Ra is concerned, Alif Lam Mim Yasin, these verses or these letters that are mentioned before certain surahs, we don't know the meaning of that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not teach us, so we just leave it as it is. The other ayah or the other important point in this particular section is about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala positioning himself on the throne. Istawa ala al-arsh. that this is a common question that many people ask, that what is this arsh and how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestow himself upon it when we believe that Allah is everywhere? So how did he go on it and how did he sit on this throne? Is he sitting on it or what is it? So again, this is one of those verses of Qur'an al-Kareem that Allah did not give us much information about. And this is one of those verses in Qur'an that Allah, He Himself, He says, كُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتِ. These are amongst those mutashabihat. Then Allah explains, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَا. Those people whose hearts, زَيْغ means twisted. He says that those people whose hearts are twisted, فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَا. They go after these types of verses. They go after these types of mutashabihat. Why? فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَا مِنْهُ ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِهِ. Either to mislead people, mislead themselves, or mislead others, وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِهِ. Or just to try to get to the bottom of it, just so that they can understand. Allah says very clearly, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. No one knows about the interpretation, no one knows about the meaning, no one understands how these things are, except for Allah. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So when Allah is telling us that, then we just leave it out there. We don't go in the details. When Allah says He's all-seeing, how does He see? Does He see like this? We leave that up to Allah. When Allah says that He can hear, how does He hear? Does He hear like us? Na'udhu billah, God forbid, does He have ears like us? We can't really understand Allah. We cannot really picture Allah because when we haven't seen Allah. And normally I say this, that you know, if you have a memory card or a memory stick which can hold only 2 gigs and you try to fit 4, you can't. It's not possible. You can only put 2. After that it says, you know, you can't download anymore, it's full. Subhanallah, if we try to understand and take our little understanding that Allah has given us compared to the understanding of Allah, there is no comparison. And Allah has given us nothing compared to the understanding of Allah. So how can we comprehend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's beyond our comprehension. It's beyond our little mind that Allah has given us. So we just leave it at there. Unfortunately, people get into these kind of ideas and they get into these types of ayahs of Qur'an when Allah says, just leave them alone. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. When Allah says that, we just leave it alone. We don't go into the details of that. Now, as Allah mentions about, it's a very clear message in these verses. And that is that, look, you believe in Allah, Jannah is there. It's very simple. آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. You have iman, you follow it up with good deeds, Jannah is waiting for you. No iman, and on top of that there's sin with disbelief, then Allah says, there's Jahannam for you. It's that simple. Allah made, subhanAllah, He made it so black and white for us. There is no areas of gray. Either it's Jannah or it's Jahannam. Either it's good or it's bad. That's how simple it is. See, we get into these gray areas. We put ourselves into these situations when Allah has made it so simple. You know, the reason why I'm mentioning this is because, you know, when we sit down in our gatherings and we talk about, you know, everything else, and when the topic of Islam comes up, everyone has their own opinion. What Islam is all about. I think this is what Allah is telling me. I think this is what Islam is. I think this is what Islam is. When Allah is telling us what our deen is, Allah is telling us what we have to do, and it's that simple. We don't get into all these different debates and arguments and, you know, this person said this. And subhanAllah, Jannah is there. You have iman, you have amal salihat, Jannah is waiting. Why do we put ourselves into these situations? We are only confusing ourselves and we are only confusing the generation that is coming afterwards. Allah has made it very simple, we keep it simple as well.
And if Allah were to hasten in sending evil to the people as they hasten in seeking good, their time would have been all over. So we leave alone those who do not believe in meeting us, to wander blindly in their rebellion. When man is afflicted by a hardship, he prays to us at all times, when reclining or sitting or standing. But when we remove his hardship, he just takes his way as though he had never prayed to us in any hardship that afflicted him. This is how their deeds appear. This is how their deeds appeared beautified to the transgressors. Indeed, we have destroyed generations before you when they transgressed, and their messengers had come to them with clear signs, but they were not the ones who would believe. This is how we punished the guilty people. Then we made you their successors in the land after them, so that we see how you would act. When our wishes are recited to them in all their clarity, say those who do not believe in meeting us, bring a Quran other than this, or make changes in it to suit your fancies. To suit our fancies. Say, it is not possible for me to make changes in it on my own. I follow nothing but what is revealed to me. If I disobey my Lord, I fear the punishment of a terrible day. Say, had Allah so willed, I would have not recited it to you, nor would he have let you know it. Then I have lived among you for years before it. Have you then no sense? So who is more unjust than the one who forges a lie against Allah or gives a lie to his signs? Indeed, such guilty people shall not achieve success. Beside Allah, they worship those who can neither harm them nor benefit them, and they say, these are our intercessors with Allah. Say, are you informing Allah of one he does not know as existing in the heavens or on the earth? Pure is he and far higher than what they associate with him. All the people were no more than a single community. Later they differed, but for a word from your Lord then had already come to pass, a decisive judgment would have been made about their mutual differences. And they say, why is it that no sign has been sent down to him from his Lord? Say, the unseen is only for Allah, so wait, I am waiting with you. Once we cause people to taste a blessing after a hardship have afflicted them, they at once start devising plans against our verses. Say, Allah is swifter in implementing his plans. Indeed, our messenger's angel record whatever you intrigue. He is the one who enables you to travel on the land and at sea until when you are aboard the boats and they sail with those on board under a favorable wind, and they are pleased with it. There comes upon them a violent wind, and the wave comes upon them from every direction, and they think that they are surrounded from all sides. They pray to Allah, having faith in him alone, and say, if you deliver us from this, we shall be grateful indeed. But when he delivers them, they are at once rebelling on the earth wrongfully. O people, your rebellion is, in fact, against your own selves. It is only worldly life that you are enjoying. Thereafter, it is to us that you have to return. Then we will tell you what you have been doing. The example.
SubhanAllah, when difficulties occur, as Allah Subhanahu wa Taala mentions in these verses, when the difficulty occurs, right away we turn to Allah. You know, believers and disbelievers, everyone turns to Allah. You know, even if a person doesn't believe in God, he will still pray to something. Because, you know, this is how Allah has made us, in general, has made human beings. That he feels that he is able or capable of doing something, but when he is not, then he or she always calls upon someone higher. That is just in them. Just this, that is a natural instinct of humans. Regardless of who they believe in and if they believe, they can say that they don't believe in a God. But subhanAllah, when something happens, right away they start praying. What are you praying to? You said you don't, I'm just praying to something. I just feel there's something out there. For us, obviously Allah is there. We pray to Allah. But as the verses say very clearly, that subhanAllah, as soon as that difficulty or that hardship is over, we go back to our own old ways that we were before. And subhanAllah, we forget about Allah. Allah gave an example of a ship. And we can take the same example of a plane. That if we're traveling by air, and everything is going good, alhamdulillah, we're all happy, everything is fine. But subhanallah, as soon as the plane starts to shake a little bit, and the captain says there's going to be some turbulence, you know that this bihad come out. The movie goes off. And subhanallah, I've been in planes where you feel that, okay, it's just, that's it. It's done. And everything was fine, but subhanallah, the weather became such that the plane was shaking and moving, going from one side to another like this. And I was probably the only Muslim on the plane, and everyone else, subhanallah, they're all praying. Everyone is praying. Everyone forgot about their alcohol. Everyone forgot about their movie. Everyone forgot about whatever they were doing. All the laughing and joking and everything was gone. That's exactly what Allah is saying in the Quran, in these verses. And safely when we landed, everyone started to cheer. The alcohol came out again. Everything was back to normal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us in these ayahs that sometimes I put you through that difficulty so that you turn back to Allah, not for that period of time, but rather you stay connected to Allah. You need to stay connected to Allah once that happens. Not that you go through that, you know, difficulty and you pray to Allah, and when Allah removes it, that you go back to your own ways and you start committing sin. No. One of the attributes of Allah is Al-Jabbar. Jabbar means to force something upon someone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes forces us into such situation so that we turn back to Allah. And the reason why He does that, like I said, is so that we don't just keep going back to Allah for that period of time. Allah wants us and He makes us go through that in our life so that eventually we turn back to Allah and we stay with Allah. We don't go back to our own ways. And if we do that, then Allah will remind us again. Allah will try to wake us up again. And how many times, subhanAllah, we can think of, you know, just think about it for a moment in your head, that how many times Allah tried to wake us up. And how many times we did wake up and then we went back to sleep. And subhanAllah, Allah will keep on doing it, but finally a time will come when those wake up calls will be over. Then it's going to be too late. So before that happens, before Allah doesn't give us any more opportunity, the next time Allah tries to wake us up, we should stay awake, and we should stay awake until eventually we have to sleep. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to in this ISG.
The example of verdant life is just like the water we send down from the sky. Then the vegetation of the earth grew with it, which is meant to be eaten by men and cattle. Until when the earth took on its ornament and was fully adorned, and its people thought that they had control over it. Our command came to it at night or by day, and we turned it into stubble, as if it had not been there a day earlier. This is how we elaborate the verses of for our people who reflect. Allah invites people to the abode of peace and brings whom He wills to a straight path. For those who do good, there is a best and something more. Neither gloom shall cover their faces nor disgrace. Those are the people of paradise. Therein they shall live forever. As for those who commit evil, the recompense of each evil shall be similar to that evil, and disgrace shall cover them. For them there is none to save from Allah. Their faces will seem to be covered with layers of a dark night. Those are the people of the fire. Therein they shall live forever. And be mindful of the day when we shall gather them together. Then we shall say to those who associated partners with Allah, wait in your place, you and your associate gods. Then we will cause a split between them, and their associate gods will say, it was not us that you worshipped. So Allah is enough as a witness between us and between you. We were totally unaware of your worship. Thereupon, everyone shall assess what one had sent ahead, and they will be sent back to Allah, their true Lord, and whatever they used to fabricate will vanish from them.
So, just to summarize what we have read today, that in a nutshell, that at the end of the day, we can make all our excuses that we want. But we have to turn back to Allah. And subhanAllah, whatever we put forward, inshallah, good that we do, that will only, inshallah, benefit us. It won't benefit anyone else. Whatever harm that we do, it was only going to harm us, it won't harm anyone else. Yes, we do commit sin, and Allah has made us to commit sin. But as soon as we commit the sin, right away we should repent to Allah. And that's one of the signs and the traits of a believer, that as soon as a sin is committed, right away he feels bad, he feels guilt inside, and he repents to Allah. And once he repents to Allah, then he feels okay. But before repenting to Allah, something that is continuously bothering him, that is a sign of iman. How many times is it, you know, Allah uses the word in Surah Anbiya, ghafla. اقترب للناس حسابهم وهم في غفلة معرضون. Allah says that the time of hisab is very near, of reckoning is very near. And He says, وهم في غفلة, that people are in a state of ghafla. You know what the word ghafla means? If I ask you, tell me, what could be worse than sin? Tell me, what could be worse than sin? You know what's worse than sin? It's the ghafla. Why? Because when a person does something wrong, he is conscious of the fact that what he's doing is not right. But ghafla is that state, and where subhanAllah, he's doing something, it's wrong, but he's doing it with this in mind, that he's not doing anything wrong. And unfortunately, the ummah is heading in that direction. And where there was a time when the ummah knew that by doing this, this is something that is not accepted by Allah, that is disapproved in the Sharia, that is against the commandments of Allah, it is against the deen. But people will do it, would do it. Ummah would do it, but they would regret it. People will do it, and they would hide it. But subhanAllah, now, as we see, we are living in the time of this ghafla, where the ummah is involved in such sin, that it's not considered to be a sin anymore. It's not a sin anymore. Why? Because everyone else is doing it. This is the excuse. This is what we come up with. The reason why this is okay now is because everyone else is doing it. You know, that scholar, he said it's okay. That imam, he said it's okay. This person, he said it's okay. There's a fatwa on the internet saying that this is okay. Subhanallah, 20 years ago, it wasn't okay. 30 years ago, it wasn't okay. Your parents did not approve of it. Your forefathers did not approve of it. From the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam until now, the ummah always considered this to be haram. But now, because of fatwa of certain people, and because of certain people doing it, now, unfortunately, the ummah in general has taken stance on various things of this being okay. That is the state of ghafla. And where, subhanallah, people go to the bank and they buy a house on interest and mortgage, thinking that it is perfectly fine. It's not a sin anymore. That is a state of ghafla. Why? Why are people heading in that direction? There was a time, and there are still a lot of people who may purchase a house on interest, may purchase a house through haram, but they feel that this is not right. But slowly, slowly, the ummah, unfortunately and gradually, are heading in that direction because of certain fatwas, because of certain rulings, that subhanAllah, you live in this part of the world, you can have at least one house. And people are going there, purchasing a house, thinking it's perfectly fine, there's nothing wrong with it anymore. This is only one example. Music. SubhanAllah, fatwas out there on music. Then you know, as long as the wordings are not haram, and the wordings are not bad, the music is also okay. From the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until today, until recent time, the ummah always considered music to be haram. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in the hadith, and the sahih hadith of Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi, الْغِنَى يُنْبِتُ النِّفَاقَ فِي الْقَلْبِ كَمَا يُنْبِتُ الْمَاءُ الزَّرْعَ. Then music, listening to music, what does it do? The effect of that, it creates hypocrisy, nifaq in one's heart. We were reading the verses of nifaq in munafiqeen, of how Allah will deal with them on the day of Qiyamah. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Subhanallah, Allah has stages of Jahannam. And He says, the munafiqeen فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ, that as far as the munafiqeen are concerned, they will be in the depth and they will be at the bottom stage of Jahannam. The worst stage of Jahannam you can possibly imagine. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying that كَمَا يُمِّتُ الْمَاءُ الزَّرَى, that music, it creates this hypocrisy within the heart and it grows it within the heart just the way how water is used to grow crops. When he's making statements like that and being so vocal and being so straightforward, yet fatwas are coming out saying that no, it's okay. Like I said, there was a time, and even now, alhamdulillah, there's still majority, or there's still most of the ummah still does not approve of it. There could be people who are involved, but they know it's haram. But unfortunately, the ummah is also heading in that direction. There is a small group, but as we learn from the signs of Qiyamah, this will increase. That a time will come when none of these sins will be considered to be sin anymore. You know, I say this all the time, you know, within the ummah, within our Muslim community, and outside as well. Why is it that, subhanAllah, why is it that so many people are taking their children out of the public school system, of what's being taught? What is being taught is not something new. It's been there. It's just that it's becoming on a higher level. It's becoming more publicized. It's becoming more open. It's okay. It should be taught. That's on the outside of the, you know, of the Muslim community. But within the Muslim community, there are so much corruption. And we are heading in that state of ghafla. And where, subhanAllah, you know, you have to accommodate everyone. This is the word that is being used. Accommodating. Subhanallah, by accommodating everyone, what is happening? What is happening? That we're taking the deen of Allah out. We're removing the deen of Allah by accommodating everyone else. By making everyone happy, we're making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala displeased. And on the day of Qiyamah, this is the gist of these verses today, that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will not question that person, they will be questioned. But if we try to take the name of that person and that person, that, oh Allah, I did it because of that person, or I followed that imam, or because of that scholar, or because of this fatwa, this is why I did it. Allah will say, but when there were other scholars who said that it was haram, when my prophet was sent, and he said these hadith very clearly, when my verses of Quran were out there, and I declared war against the person who takes interest in Quran, why did you not look at the words of my book, and why did you not look at the words of my prophet? Why did you go after this person? Allah will not accept us, saying that, you know, I took this person's fatwa, I listened to this imam, or I listened to the shaykh. They will be questioned and they will be dealt with. But because of them, we won't be saved. Allah will question us and Allah will punish us because of our own wrongdoings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to Siratul Mustaqeem. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really give us the ability of practicing upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way how it should be practiced. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always give us the ability of following the ways of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله.
As you have given two examples of love, one house and then music. One more thing.
There are many examples.
Exactly. Jhatka, which we eat meat, we just say Bismillah and we can eat. Just another example.
It's another example.
People are eating it.
Yes. Right.
There are a lot of places in Quran which mention about group of people, certain group of people, and I don't know if it's a hadith or what, there will be 72 firqa by the
right
end of time, and one firqa will go only to Jannah only. So, and nowadays there are different flavor of Islam, and everybody thinks that they are right, and they believe they are right, and they have their quoting Hadith and Quran that they are right. How do we know that which one is correct and which one are not, and how do we know we are on the right path?
When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that hadith, and he said that, you know, there will be that many groups and everyone will be going in the hellfire except for one. So right away Sahaba asked the Prophet of Allah, who is that one group who is not? So what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He said, ma ana alaykum wa ashabi. Those people who will follow my sunnah and who would hold on and follow the ways of my Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. So when we look at the different groups that are out there, you will find certain people, they, out of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will go to the extreme. You know? And then you have another group of Sahaba people who love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they dislike Sahaba. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not stop over there. He said, not only me, they also love my Sahaba. They also follow the ways of my Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. So subhanallah, when we look at that, from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until now, as we speak, the ummah in general always had the love of Allah for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the heart. And the ummah generally always had love for Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, excluding any of the Sahaba, including all of them. Whether it be Abu Bakr, Uthman, Ali, Khulafa'i Rashideen, any other Sahaba afterwards, all of them were always accepted by the ummah in large. Why did these groups start in the first place? They started from this. This is the amazing point. When we look at these groups, they start either because of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, respecting him so much and taking him higher than a prophet. Just the way how people did with Isa alayhi salam. That they associated Isa alayhi salatu wasalam with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly, you'll find many groups amongst these groups, these 70, 72, 73 groups that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned. Most of them, either they take Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam on a very high level. They say that, you know, he has knowledge of the unseen, he has traits of Allah, na'udhu billah. So there are different groups, but they are related to this. Or either you'll find the other groups which have love for certain Sahaba and they take away certain Sahaba. So subhanallah, Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, ma ana alaykum wa ashabi, indirectly he was telling us, these groups will be created either because of me or because of my Sahaba. For no other reason. And if you look at all these groups, either it has something to do with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, either people then taking him on a very high level, or unfortunately taking him very low. That's exactly when we say in Quran and we recite Surah Fatiha all the time, we say, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. Oh Allah, don't take us on any of the two extremes. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ. Oh Allah, we don't want to be those people who went astray. Or sorry, who Allah's wrath descended upon. Why did Allah's wrath descend upon them? Because they did not forget, follow Anbiya alayhi salam. They did not only disrespect, but they went out of their way and they assassinated and they killed so many of the Anbiya alayhi salam. As a result, Allah's curse came upon them. And walad dalin, then there was the other group who did not only respect them, but respected them so much that they took them out of the context of a prophet. Took them on the same level of Allah. That is exactly what is happening amongst these groups. That either there is a group which totally rejects Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, there are a group where they don't believe in hadith at all. They don't believe in hadith. They say we're Ahlul Quran, people of Quran. Quran is sufficient, we don't need hadith. You know, subhanallah, one of my teachers, he said very beautifully that for those people, you know, for them, how did they know that this is Quran? How did they know that this is Quran? Through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the verses of Quran al-Kareem were being revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is Quran, that is hadith. Anything that is uttered by Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is hadith. So when he said that verse, or he said that paragraph, this is Quran, that is hadith. So Quran only got to us through hadith. So like I said, you know, these groups are all either connected either with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by taking him on a very high level, or unfortunately rejecting him, or either with Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. And if we don't do either of the two, and we keep Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the level that he is, we respect him as a Prophet of Allah, and not only as a Prophet of Allah, but rather as the last Prophet and the greatest messenger, because Allah mentions that in Quran. And we respect him on that level, but we don't take him higher than that, and at the same time we don't degrade him. And the same thing we do with Sahaba, that we respect all of the Sahaba. We believe from the core of our heart that all of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in were udul, were people who were God-fearing, people who had iman, people who had a strong connection with Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people that Allah says in Quran, radiallahu anhum wa radu an, that Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah and Allah has forgiven them. If this is our general aqidah regarding Sahaba, then inshallah we are amongst those people. So it seems to be scary, you know, there's subhanAllah, there's all these groups. But subhanAllah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it so easy for us. When he said that it's only, you know, follow me and follow me, my Sahaba, what does that mean? That these groups will be created because of these two reasons. That's another group. Again, it's connected to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why do they say that? They say that because they feel that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is present at all times, everywhere, just like how Allah. So they're taking Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the same level and attributing certain attributes of Allah on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No, because see, to say Assalamu alaikum ya Rasulullah when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is there, that is not only allowed, in fact that is what is recommended, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is there, he is present over there, and our aqidah, our belief is that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is alive in his grave and he replies back to the salah. There's a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says the hadith of Surah An-Nasa, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَلَائِكَةٌ سَيَّاحِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُبَلِّغُنِي مِنْ أُمَّةِ السَّلَامِ, that Allah has appointed certain angels, certain malaika. Their task, their job, their duty is to roam around the earth. Whoever is sending blessing on Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they go and convey that salam to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, as muhaddithin, they commentate on this hadith and they say, subhanAllah, that what does that mean? Do you know what that means? Every time we say durood, we can sit thousands of miles away from Medina and away from Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we can sit here and we can say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad as many times as we want. And each time we say it, there is an angel that goes and presents that salam to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's basically, what is he doing? The old Prophet of Allah so and so is saying salam. So our name is being presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam by an angel every time we send durood. So when he is not in front of us, we send durood. We say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Oh Allah, you send the salam upon him. Do it on our behalf. So Allah uses these malaika to convey that message. But when we are there, or we are present, then we directly say to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Similarly, when we go in the graveyards, at that time we say, Assalamu alaikum ya ahlul qubur, because those people are present. If they're not there and for not there and for at home, then we wouldn't be using those words. Okay, inshallah. Subhanallah. 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 Subhanallah.